With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You won't find a love like ours, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello, Marcus Speller.
Luke Moore's also with us.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson is not.
No, let's not dwell on the
MIA.
Negatives, though.
Or the positives, as yeah. Some people may say. Well, no, we'll certainly dwell on the positives no matter what happens. Speaking of positives, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
He's in the bloody league, isn't he?
Brilliant already.
Mm. He's had a song written about him by Matze Knopp. I'm going to go with there. It's called I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp, quite simply.
Yeah, it's to the tune of Usher's, I'm not sure what the song is, but the chorus is I Want to Make Love in This Club, frankly, disgustingly. Oh. But it's to the tune of that song, and it's I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp.
I think I've seen the YouTube video of it, but I didn't know it was a rip-off of an Usher song.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I think that Jurgen now already feels like he's got his feet well and truly under the desk.
Yes.
Good to have. I was disappointed not to see a baseball cap on the touchline.
No. Yep.
But it was a tracksuit.
All right, well,
he's
to that in a minute.
Giving us all the things we're going to learn to love.
Yeah.
We did. A prominent German was wearing a baseball cap, but we'll come to that in a minute. If you could write a song about a manager or dedicate a song, something like that, produce a song, whatever it may be, to a manager, Jim, what would you come up with and who would you give it to?
Well, I think a manager,
the expression.
A manager who needs cheering up quite a lot right now is our lovable rogue, old Timmy Sherwood.
Yes.
Diamond Geezer Tim. Because, you know, it's not going so well at Villa. And simply what I would have is I would team up with Leandro Bacuna to sing him a rendition. Bacuna Matata. Going to come straight out with it. Obviously, from The Lion King. First verse would be Bacuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Bacuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Probably about 11, you reckon?
Yeah,
about 11 days left.
Yeah.
And it's our tactics-free philosophy, Bacuna Matata.
Excellent.
I think that put a smile on his face.
It was.
Don't forget, Tim's now gone from no tactics to like all the tactics.
Yeah, each player has
so maybe
their own
it should be. It
contrasting
means,
tactic.
It means more tactics for the rest of your days.
Yeah. Mm. Again, we'll certainly come to Tim Sherwood. Luke?
I've gone for a little bit more of a traditional flavour.
Flavour with a second A?
Yeah, now I know about the Usher song. Yeah, I'm going flavour with an A. Yeah. I would like to turn to the old classic, Happy Birthday.
Yes.
And dedicate that to Big Sam, who is 61 today.
Really?
61st birthday today for Big Sam, yeah.
My goodness.
How's he celebrating? Leave that to your imagination.
Yeah. Gravy cake all round.
Yeah, so definitely Happy Birthday, Big Sam. I wouldn't change any of the lyrics because it's a classic and you don't mess with a classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could possibly sing it to him in the style of Marilyn Monroe to JFK.
He'd love that.
He would. He would.
He'd get involved.
Yeah.
In all sorts of ways. Are you finished?
I am finished. Yeah. I don't think I can top that myself. So.
I would like to sing a song to Gianfranco Zola, currently managing in Qatar, Al Arabi. And that is the name, Arabi, not being ridiculous.
I've got
there.
No reason to doubt you.
I saw him in a match down at Stamford Bridge where he'd beat goalkeepers and the crowd would sing Zola.
I like it.
Zola.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Yeah. Has it got me the points? It hasn't got me the points. I think Luke's got the points.
I need them. Apparently, according to the guy who's at the Twitter account monitoring the points and they're doing a league table on Photoshop every week, I'm bottom, so I need the points. Appreciate
it. I didn't know that.
I thought, when in doubt, turn to Big Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, it is... it's literally a standard that you've not changed anything to. I'm frankly, I'm gutted with that one, Marcus.
Because you really made an effort. You both made an effort, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went with the classic and it's got me the points. So well, that's how it goes.
Doesn't matter how you win, does it?
She moves in mysterious ways.
Let's go straight away to the Premier League. Spurs 0, Liverpool 0. Jurgen Klopp gets his first point charge.
The excitement factor of Klopp is so much so that people seem to have forgotten that Liverpool didn't actually win the game. Well, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be quite annoyed by that.
Imagine if they can maintain that positivity, whatever the result, for the rest of his tenure. They'd do really well.
They would do very, very well.
His post-match interview was just magnificent, wasn't it? The guy just radiates positive energy. It's brilliant. Not in the way that Brendan Rodgers tried to.
No. And you can see why. I mean, we'll come on to Tim Sherwood in a minute, but Tim Sherwood talking about how the players, what inspiration they come to me. It's like, they ain't getting inspiration from a guy who looks like he's been crying non-stop for a month. You know, Jurgen Klopp's going to give you inspiration because, as you say, he's got limitless enthusiasm, like he's burgeoning with charisma. And that might be a true asset. I mean, I was being a bit flippant when I said if they can keep that mood going, whatever the results. It's a big asset.
It's a huge asset.
If they feel like, he said before the game he'd like to see the players play with a bit of fun in their eyes.
He did.
And that's a lot. There's a lot to that, I think.
Also, a guy like that, I mean, even from that one post-match interview, you're going to look at that guy and think, this guy knows what he's talking about. If he says it's going to be all right, then it's going to be all right. I believe in me, because he does. Let's go and kick some goals in some nets.
Damn right.
Many presses, many shoots.
By getting a 0-0.
See?
Full us.
They started well, and they were pressing.
They were swarming. Swarming.
Yeah, just like he likes old Klopper. I wondered, though, if they were going to start like that, because I know it's a fairly basic tactic in one sense, but Klopp's ideas, you know, he's obviously got a certain style of play, and although he is quite ambidextrous with the tactics, ambidextrous is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? He can mix it up.
He's versatile, yeah.
He's versatile is the ruddy word I was looking for. I wonder how long it will take that team to fully take on board all what Klopp has to say and do.
A few pundits are saying that they're not sure he's got the players to implement the philosophy that he likes to implement.
Yeah.
And that will be a true test of his versatility. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think he is a versatile coach, and we'll see what goes on. But a word for Spurs is that I'd like to say about Spurs that they... I sort of started... When I watched the Spurs-Liverpool game, I sort of now finally got a real sense of what Spurs are all about. And they've got the joint best defence in the league, along with Arsenal, of course. I've only conceded 7 goals this season. Toby Alderweireld's been a brilliant signing for them, and he's got them defending as a unit. He really has. And I wonder how... I mean, of course, I've got a problem with the Harry Kane thing. I mean, people are talking about cover for Harry Kane. I think they should probably already be wondering about giving Harry Kane a bit of a rest now and bringing someone in. But of course, they've got no one to do that with. So I was thinking to myself after this game, when they weathered the early storm, Liverpool played exactly like a team who've got a new manager they're looking to impress would play. But they didn't keep it out for the whole game. But they were the first team, apparently, to outrun Spurs this season in terms of distance.
Oh, right. The sprint stats were unbelievable.
So Pochettino's obviously developing a very sort of defensively solid, hard-working unit. And I wonder what position Spurs would be in. Given that no team has really taken this Premier League by the scruff of the neck yet this season, I wonder what position Spurs would be in now if they had the Harry Kane of last season. Mm. Because there's a chance he could have taken. He had a chance against Liverpool, didn't take it. I think 7, 8, 9 months ago, he takes that chance. Possibly 6 months ago. And that's a good win for Spurs. Mm. And I think they deserve a bit of credit for this, because I don't think there's any team in the league that would have wanted to have played against Liverpool in Klopp's first game in charge. Mm. And they ground it out. They rode their luck when they had to, but they gave a good account of themselves. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a positive result for Spurs, because Liverpool could have done anything under Klopp in that first game, because you know what it's like when teams have got the manager for the first time.
Mm. I think the pressure on Kane is a little bit unfair, because we see it's such a common thing with young players. We saw it with Raheem Sterling last season. We've seen it with Wayne Rooney when he first broke through at an incredibly young age. They're naturally going to be fairly inconsistent. You know, the rigors of a Premier
Second
League season
when you're
that age and you've not experienced it before, they're going to do things to your body that you've literally never experienced before. There's a lot of pressure suddenly. So, I mean, as we said on the show last week, I think it's a matter of time before Kane comes good. But as you say, when they don't have anyone to come in and take a bit of the pressure off him with, that it may be something that hinders them come the end of the season.
I'll tell you who's put the most pressure on Spurs Harry Kane. Spurs. by not backing him.
One of their own.
But not backing him up with a supplementary striker or a player who could come in and take pressure off him.
There's definitely been an assumption, and not just from Spurs fans, I think maybe even from the England setup as well, that Harry Kane is now going to score that amount of goals every season, that he will just be like a sort of Teddy Sheringham figure forever, and there won't be any ups and downs. Mm. And that's not any help to him or anyone.
Should they get Defoe back?
Did you see it? Just while you've lightened the mood there, I'm going to take this opportunity to nip in and say, did you see that picture of Chris Armstrong on the tube?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Big, looks like a busker.
Massive dreads.
It's worth digging out, though.
Yeah. Did Chris Armstrong... Actually, I'm not going to say that, because I'm not sure.
Probably best not.
Look it up, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and make your own minds up from the photo. I enjoyed, I mentioned caps earlier. I mentioned, I enjoyed Boris Becker's cap. I've never seen a cap like it. It was a bunny rabbit in full sprint.
It was odd that it's the kind Becker of
cap
was there.
I know Pete doesn't wear caps, but if he did, he'd wear that.
Yeah.
Is it some sort of Boris Becker thing? Because I know Bjorn Borg, also a legendary tennis player, has got his own range of underwear. Is this Boris Becker branded thing himself?
Why would it be a bunny rabbit?
I don't know. I'm asking. I'm just asking the question.
Well, get in touch.
Boris. Yeah.
I hope that Klopp's going to bring a celebrity German to every game.
That'd be good.
That would be. Who would you fancy
like
for the next one?
Like a sidekick or
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, I mean he's not technically German, but he'd do. Hasn't he gone off to fight ISIS? That was on the front of a newspaper this morning.
Was that the Daily Mash?
David Hasselhoff.
No, a real one, a proper one.
David Hasselhoff.
I didn't read the story. I just saw a headline. I may end up with like egg on my face.
But Jim, you need to clarify that.
The front of a I know nothing
if
more
you're
about it.
The front of a
tabloid said Hasselhoff, I'm off to fight ISIS.
Well, the moment David Hasselhoff stopped being entertaining was when David Hasselhoff got in on the joke. As soon as that happened, it was over.
To be fair, the Hoff, he did sing on top of the Berlin Wall,
and then it just fell down.
Which I think is the reason why it came down.
He regularly claims that he had a big part to play in that when he absolutely did not.
I think someone should explain to him that he didn't, so he gets back before he gets to ISIS.
Yeah, I mean, is it a big loss if he goes to fight ISIS? I mean, you know, to me, I'm thinking win-win.
Humanity and culture will recover, but it would be a very sad end to the Hoff's tale.
Yeah. In about 10 or 15 minutes, they'd recover, I think, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, a red float's not going to do much damage, is it?
A man has hypothetically died here, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hang on.
Well, what do you think is going to happen to him?
But they're not going to let him loose on the front lines, are they?
He's not even military trained. Yeah. He's literally not even military trained.
He'll just be... Yeah, come on. He'll just be at the back, few selfies. It'll be fine.
One man who may have more time to possibly go and fight ISIS if he wants...
Tactics Tim.
...would be Tim Sherwood, though, wouldn't it?
Again, after. I mean...
You wouldn't want him dictating how...
That's not the tactical mind you want fronting that operation, no.
He said one of the greatest... tactical insight. Remember the famous Arrigo Sacchi when he was being pilloried in the Italian press way back in the late 80s for never being a player, and he responded with a legendary retort: "I didn't realise to be a jockey, you first had to be a horse." This from Tim Sherwood's up there on what his plan is going to be from now on. I'm just going to keep swinging until something works. Tell you what,
the way he worded it was like that was a threat to the rest of the Premier League, and they need to watch out.
I can imagine Aston Villa fans switching off Match of the Day at that point and going, "Oh, sleep soundly tonight. Now we've got our best man on it."
What I love that he assumes that if you keep swinging, something will work.
Yeah.
It may not work.
No. At some point, you've got to stop swinging.
So what's your tactical philosophy, Tim? Chaos theory. Yes. The law of averages.
Frank Sinatra. Swing when you're winning.
Well,
you're not winning, Tim. That's the point.
He said, "I want to go out on the front foot, and if I die, I die on my sword." That is... I'm sorry. And then he went on to say, "Why do we need to be more pragmatic? I would never be pragmatic. I've done it a few times, but I don't like it myself."
That sounds like he doesn't know what pragmatic means, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done it a few times, Jim. Yeah. I woke up on time. I got to the office without being late.
One of the biggest concerns for Villa fans, I mean, aside from the glaring obvious, is that the way they... this is always a terrible sign in a team, I think, is the way they started quite brightly. But as soon as it didn't work for them, as soon as nothing was going their way and they eventually conceded, that was that. Mm. I mean, that really was that.
And also, Chelsea, they weren't great. They were really gifted that victory. And the timing is fantastic for Mourinho. We were talking about this all last week, how this was an ideal fixture for them to get back on track. But that was by no means convincing.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it was going to come down. I mean, we mentioned it a bit on the Friday show we did. It was going to come down to... It was a big game purely because... Aston Villa, if they had anything about them at all or any confidence left in the tank, they would have seen Chelsea's being there for the taking. Great time to play them. Chelsea would have seen it as a gimme to get them back on the horse, and that's obviously how it's turned out in the end. But the goals were fairly fortunate as well. And I mean, to be fair, Chelsea had a lot of other chances, though, didn't they?
Costa was gifted his goal.
Yeah.
But I mean, despite what I wrongly said on the Friday, the preview show last week, Aston Villa have been scoring goals away from home, so Chelsea have done well to nullify them, because they've scored in a lot of away games. So
some odd selections from Mourinho as well to bring on Ruben Loftus-Cheek, like. To start, who had a good game, take him off at half time, and also to not play Hazard.
Do you know what? Mourinho, he can be quite petulant, and when he takes someone off at half time, that's very seldom do you see people changed at half time, unless something's going wrong or they really want to switch it up. Chelsea, neither of those things were happening or bound to happen.
Yeah, and psychologically, you look at what that does to both players. Does it motivate either of them?
Well, it's
a strange one.
It's almost like he hears people saying, when are you going to try the youngsters, or we haven't brought a player through, and all that kind of stuff, and he's sort of like, well, there you go, he had 45 minutes. Yeah. It feels a little bit like that with
Mourinho.
It
must be weird for him to have had a good game and then be taken off. Surely you're thinking, what did I do wrong there?
It depends how Mourinho manages him in half-time. Maybe he's just said, look, let me change it up and we're going to do this instead and we think this player's better. I mean, he did that with Zouma and Terry. Yeah. The way he explained pulling off Terry was, so to speak, was saying that Zouma's our fastest defender and we needed him for that reason. But interestingly enough, it is a real measure of how badly Chelsea's season is going so far. The players he's relied on the most are Hazard and Ivanovic, and neither of them featured in this game against Villa. He had to go, he had to look elsewhere, he had to change things up. And you know, look, we can debate the longer term problems of Ruben Loftus-Cheek, his confidence because he's been dragged off at half time, but Chelsea have won the game, and I guess that's what Mourinho needed to do at this point.
He could argue that Loftus-Cheek's been on the bench a lot, therefore he's not been playing matches.
Maybe he got tired. He's a young boy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's a difficult sort of physically intensive league, all that stuff. I'm sure he would have managed it properly. I'm sure he would have just gone, right, off you go.
To give Tim Sherwood an ounce of credit with how he's maybe going to turn this around, he said that he can take a lot of inspiration from people like Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
And if you are going to take inspiration, then you go to the top.
But he's fundamentally misunderstood the situation there.
He
genuinely has, because Alan Pardew took, I mean, like it or not, Alan Pardew took Newcastle to the Europa League.
Well,
he had a decent season of success with Newcastle. And so Sherwood's not got any of that to rely on at all.
Well, Sherwood went on to say Alan Pardew, who was screamed out of town in Newcastle, and look at him now. He's at a different club.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does sound like, you know, Sherwood's very, very aware of the elephant in the room, which is the pressure on him, and that, you know, he may only have a few games left. He is, you know, saying things like, oh, you know, if I fall on my sword, so be it, and look at Pardew, blah, 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 blah. You know, clearly it's getting to him, because he did have the air of someone just putting on a brave face to the point of delusion afterwards. But, you know, Bakuna Matata, good luck to him.
Yeah, but he can't, I agree with you, but I don't know if he can do anything else really at this point. The other situation he's got to worry about is the fact that a lot of this stuff comes hand in hand with who's actually available to replace him. Well, at the moment, there are a lot of managers available to replace him, all of whom are better and more experienced.
Yeah, Moyes, Rodgers.
Exactly. So he should be feeling the pressure, not only because he's not winning games, but because there are other managers available. And not only that, Newcastle and Sunderland play each other this weekend, which I'm sure we'll cover on Friday. And obviously, the nature of how football works is one of those teams is going to get 3 points, or both of them are going to get a point.
Yeah.
And that, by definition, puts pressure on Villa, who are playing at home to Swansea, who are okay, a bit inconsistent away from home. But Swansea, if you give them a chance and you're not confident, they'll pass you to death. But
this is the problem, isn't it? Villa are giving people chances. Just that there's no cohesion in that back four. And Brad Guzan as well just makes a lot of really poor decisions that puts his defenders under pressure. Mm-hmm. And then because there's such a lack of cohesion between them, it's like they all pass the buck. And then before they know it, they've conceded.
I think you've touched on something good, though. I think generally a goalkeeper is a canary in the mine. You know, if the goalkeeper is playing with confidence, because it's such a confidence dependent position, if the goalkeeper is playing with confidence and playing well and strong for you, you can generally see that the confidence in the camp is good. I mean, it happens all over the place. You look at how Mignolet's played when Liverpool been under pressure. He's sometimes played like an absolute drain. Do you know what I mean? And that could be a sign of wider confidence within the camp. And the fact that Guzan's in such poor form, when in fact in the past he's been very reliable, is definitely a big problem.
But we should just clarify something there. I know that David Moyes isn't available right now.
We're going to speak
about
Moyes.
He's under a bit of pressure, isn't he?
We're going to speak about him later.
Yeah. He's had his one this weekend.
Yeah, he has. We're going to talk more about football and that after this.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. Because Three's Company, but Four's a ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Crystal Palace 1, West Ham 3. Mm. Happy Hammers, according to Slaven Bilic.
Can this away form keep up?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Keep up?
I mean, that's arguably the hardest place to go in the league, Jim.
Well, yeah, indeed. It's Crystals, isn't it?
West Ham, 4 points.
It's hard to play with those strobe lights and that yeah. Music pumping.
They're 4 points off the top. Jenkinson with another goal. Lanzini and Payet.
Yeah.
Payet.
Yeah, was a lovely goal. Lovely finish. He's a great player.
Beautiful little dink.
Wonderful dink. So confident as well that late in the game. Don't need it. Just want a cherry on the top. Brilliant.
It was
lovely.
Quite upsetting to see Gale take his sending off so badly. He's such a sensitive character.
He had a strange game, didn't he? I've often wondered about Dwight Gale, why he doesn't play more. And maybe it is because he's a little bit erratic, but he encroached on the penalty, which meant Kabaye had to take it again.
Needlessly,
and then did it again and got away with it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Pardew, clearly he's getting ready for the England job because he's getting his excuses out, because that was a sending off. Those were two bookings, as far as I was concerned. Clear cut.
I don't know if it's that. I wonder if it's to do with the fact that he wants to protect the player. If the player's a sensitive kid, and like he took it hard, you know, you see him hiding his face and his shirt and everything. He was obviously ashamed of himself and upset. Mm. Pardew can take a bit of the pressure off him by saying, oh, I didn't think it was a sending off, and then go back to them and say, look, I think you're hard, harsh done by there. I think that's probably why he did it. Mm. But it's the only reason I can see why Gale doesn't play more often, because if you go and see him in the flesh, he can finish really well on both feet.
Good player.
He's strong for his side. He's quick.
Scourge of Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw him, sorry to keep harking back to this, but it's the last time I was at Selhurst Park, was in the League Cup against Shrewsbury, and Gale played well. You know, he looked a cut above, and you'd expect that because they're a lower league team they were playing. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to see any discernible weaknesses in his game other than the sort of inconsistency that comes along with being fairly young. But he's clearly a sensitive character.
He
must be.
A lot of potentially good... Well, and good forward players, Crystal Palace.
They've got a good squad, Crystal Palace.
They do. They've got players where they can certainly get more out of them, though. Gale's another one.
What's his
Bamford?
Puncheon? What's his
Zaha?
Chops? I've forgotten his name.
Balassi?
He's a fantastic player, so entertaining. He doesn't score enough goals. If they can get that out of him, I mean, that's what's really impressive about this Palace squad. You can see there is more to come from a lot of already good players.
When they played against Shrewsbury and they dropped players, the players that came in were all decent. It was like, I forgot they've got him and him. You know, and they've got Patrick Bamford, who clearly is having a terrible time.
Well, Bamford might be coming back off his lungs. He's not playing.
I think he's a real confidence player as well. He didn't look at the races when I saw him. But, I mean, they've got a lot of backup in those positions for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Pardew in England. Well, and we talked about this last week, saying that he's... And we've mentioned this before. Pardew is definitely gearing up to have a go at that England job. And fair enough. And we got absolute confirmation of this on the weekend. Because when Pardew was asked about the England job, he said, I haven't brought it up once. He has.
Like this man, specifically once.
Yes, this man, last time round on the Ramble, we spoke about him saying, just give me one tournament, win, lose or bust. Yeah. So he absolutely has mentioned the England job. It's not on my agenda and I'm quite happy at Palace. And then he went on to say, but it's the England job. If you're English and you don't want it, then there must be something wrong with you.
That media train has gone into overdrive there. Now, I have a proposition for you guys, right? West Ham's away form is so good. Do you think they should actually bother with a new stadium?
No.
So just not move into one? Just play all of their games away next year?
Just volunteer to play every game away.
Just have a training ground.
It might work well for them next season, because the Olympic Stadium, of course, will feel like an away stadium. So it might work even better.
That's it. Maybe next season. They could win the league next season.
Get your money on them now.
Damn right. Hmm. Damn bloody right. Manchester United had a great away win at Everton. Often a bogey ground for them. Rooney scored his first away goal in 11 months. Rooney seemed a little bit... Well, I don't want to say chippy, because I understand if people are constantly questioning you. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't happy when people were saying, it's your first away goal for a while. And he was saying, well, you know, as long as the manager's happy. And he spoke about his critics and that kind of thing. But as one journalist said, well, people aren't being critical. People are just stating cold, hard facts.
Yeah, but to be fair to Rooney, he has his stats and his form and everything about him picked apart with such regularity.
True.
Being England's main man, there's probably not a player in England that has that to that degree. So, you know, fair enough to him if he gets a bit annoyed with it every now and then.
I think it's one of those things where the journalist was fair to pick him up on it and Rooney was fair to get annoyed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of those things.
It's fair all round.
People talk about Rooney being a bit sort of not fulfilling his potential and stuff like that. And to an extent, I agree. But there's a reason that a manager who's so sort of dominant and so alpha male-like in Louis van Gaal is still picking him. He's still picking him.
Mm.
He's made him his captain. He's still picking him. So he's obviously offering something to the team. I get frustrated watching Rooney play a lot more than I feel like I should because sometimes, like, we always talk on the show about, I mean, it seems like every season we talk about him starting so slowly because he doesn't take his fitness seriously. But not only that, along with that comes these terrible, like, he's bouncing the ball off his shin and stuff that shouldn't, that top players shouldn't. I don't know if you feel the same way watching him, but sometimes you think he does stuff that top players shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And you've also got to really point the finger, if you're going to point the finger, about his performances in the really big games. I was listening to Five Live the other day and someone was saying the last time they can remember, this is a United fan, the last time they can remember Rooney genuinely performing in a big game was the Man City game where he scored the overhead kick. And that was a long time ago now, wasn't it? I can't think of another time he's done that.
I have a theory on this.
That can't be right.
Wait, well, give me another example where he's like had a standout performance for United since then.
No, I won't.
It's harder to top your head. But I have a theory on this.
You proved your point.
Against, was it Club Bruges? You did all right then?
But the thing with Rooney, right, that player's gone. You know, it's clear those overhead kicks and that amazing volley against Newcastle. He doesn't do those sort of things anymore. Like a Wayne Rooney YouTube compilation has some absolute screamers in it, and you don't really see those now. And I wonder if part of the reason people still expect him to do that, because he's 30 now, is that he just hasn't physically changed.
Yeah, right.
Like when he was 17, he looked like he was 30.
Exactly, yeah.
So maybe people still expect him to be that player.
I do think there's a... We probably haven't got time to go into this in depth today, but I do think there's a kernel of truth in the fact that he also gets moved around a lot and people make excuses for him. So people will say, oh, you got to play him deeper, and then when they play him deeper, you got to play him up front, and he does seem to get shuttled around quite a lot.
Yeah.
And you wonder whether people make excuses for him because he's Wayne Rooney. But at the same time, you know, it's a really difficult one because he's scored 50 England goals, you know what I mean? So you can't really argue with that. But there was a time when I think people thought he would really kick on. But as you've said, I think that player in him is gone. We're not going to see him at that level again, I don't think.
No.
There's going to have to be a time when he's going to have to move on. He's going to have to not play as much.
Yeah. It was a great shame for Everton to lose at home so soon after the sad news of the Everton great Howard Kendall passing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what a giant of the game. Last English manager to win a European trophy for an English club, yeah. Cup with Everton back in the 80s and clearly did a lot for Everton and was a really well-respected figure there, and rightly so, you know, it's very sad.
Managed abroad as well. Yeah. Marvellous. Have a look at the career of Howard Kendall. Well worth it.
Youngest player to play in a cup final as well, I think.
Is that right?
I think so, for Preston in the 60s. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. 17. Kevin Kilbane was talking about that match of the day, wasn't
17.
He? It's actually a profile of him on our website, isn't there? In the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Good. There you go. Check it out.
Big Sam Allardyce lost his first game in charge.
Wasn't his fault, though.
It wasn't his fault.
It's his birthday today, so tread carefully. That's all I'm going to say.
Was it Pantillimon's fault?
I think it was Berahino's fault, wasn't it?
Did he foul him, do you think?
That's what Big Sam said. Big Sam said, I checked that on my laptop, and I saw it was a foul. It's like, the way Sam said it was like, you're all mistaken. I don't know if you've seen it on my laptop, but if you did, you'd probably chalk the goal off.
Is he got a special laptop that doesn't lie?
It might be your birthday, Big Sam, but it doesn't work like that.
Is it as an influential a laptop as Jeff Goldblum's in Independence Day?
It's up there. It's the football equivalent.
All right. In a way, Sam Allardyce is the Jeff Goldblum of football, isn't he? He's not quite in the
Marcus
A-list,
is not,
but
Marcus
he's
loves
a safe,
Jeff Goldblum.
He's a safe pair of hands in some blockbusters, but, you know, he's not a Hollywood
A-lister.
Jeff
Goldblum's not an A-lister?
I wouldn't say so.
Come on.
I think he's top of the B-list in Hollywood terms.
Tell him.
I think I'll let the listeners tell him.
Hey, I love old JG.
Yeah, we all do.
I'm not knocking him.
I'm
not.
I'm a big fan.
But look, Independence Day is a movie that's known as not having proper A-list talent in it because it's the
Will
story
Smith.
Is all right. You know, you're right.
Come on, right. Jim.
Stop it, listeners.
Bill Pullman.
All right.
Okay, Bill Pullman will be A-list.
Bill Pullman. All right.
He looks like Glenn Hoddle.
Does he?
Yeah.
Who, Bill Pullman?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
I used to.
The point is here that I think, Jim...
The point's nothing to do with Independence Day.
That's a callous slight on Jeff Goldblum.
Jurassic Park.
Exactly.
But yeah, the T-Rex is the star there, though, isn't it?
It's true.
That's
Jeff
I mean.
Goldblum also played the T-Rex in that film.
So that's correct.
He's versatile, yeah.
Unclever boy. Right, let's move on to the big result of the weekend. Newcastle 6, Norwich 2. Oh. Where the hell did that come from?
It's because Pete's not here.
Yeah. I loved McLaren's quote after the game. He's obviously really getting to grips with life at Newcastle. He said, "It's Newcastle. Is it possible to make any sense?" I love that.
He's written it off already. Don't worry about it. Yeah. In a way, because the Premier League is so unpredictable and Newcastle are almost like the epicentre of that.
Yes.
That they're so unpredictable themselves. I mean, it came from absolute nowhere. Mm. You always felt the way Newcastle have been playing this season, that if they were going to win a game, they're going to have to score a fair few goals.
Yeah.
And to be fair to them, they did.
They've doubled their tally for the season in that game. They've used those up unwisely.
Do you remember when they... did they win 2-1 when McLaren was saying... Let's not bomb forward too much. Let's just sit on it. Let's just take it easy. And the fans are going, "No, we want it. We want more." And he was like, "You've got to learn to accept the fact that in a game of football, it's not always the best thing to charge forward. You know, this isn't Keegan's Newcastle anymore." Do you think he's just gone the opposite way? Yeah. Just keep scoring. Yeah. Well, keep it, scoring until the 90 minutes is up.
The only way
then we might have a
chance is if they've scored six goals. We've got a 4-goal cushion. That should be enough.
If we're scoring all the time, it's physically impossible for them to score because there's only one ball. So just do that.
Yeah. Well, Wijnaldum certainly. Oh, yeah.
I like to think that McLaren did the thing you're talking about being 2-1 up, protecting your lead, stuff like that. And he went to make that speech again in the dressing room, and he looked over and he saw a framed photo signed of Kevin Keegan and just went, "Carry on, chaps. Carry on what you're doing." Yeah. It's the only language I understand.
But I imagine it just fell off the wall.
Smashed. And then Steve McLaren cut his foot on it. Yeah, on the glass.
Good. Much better from them. Wijnaldum scored Newcastle's first hat-trick. I know he got four, but obviously there's three in that. In the Premier League since 2011.
Yeah, who scored it in 2011? Do we know? We
Barr.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, wow.
It was Denver Barr. Okay, that makes sense.
I love how it's a really satisfying thing when someone scores four or, over a hat-trick and the final goal is the best one.
Yes.
Because that was an absolute screamer.
I was sickened for Aguero when he scored five with half hour left the other week and got taken off.
Yeah.
He could have been the first Premier League player to score six.
True. But you're right, Jim, when the last one's
that
the best
one. That was
also
against Newcastle, wasn't it?
Well, you know when we got six goals against us? Yeah. Let's do it to someone else. Yeah. Come on.
You can't convince me you don't know what it's like. You've seen it. It can be done. You've seen it in your own eyes.
With regards to that, Jim, Lewandowski, when he got his five, the fifth one was the best one with that volley. So satisfying.
Yeah, but the Wolfsburg players on that occasion were, it was like they had an anaesthetic.
Yeah.
Like a goal-delivered anaesthetic.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's it. He'd put like a gas in the ball.
It was just death by goals. It really was.
Well, McLaren seems to be aiming just for survival this season. He's being more realistic. Before Sunday, he commented, "If anyone said to me now, you'll have 40 points by mid-April, I'd take that." That's a perspective of where we are. Very realistic talk from McLaren. Will that irk Newcastle fans, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I mean, wasn't it until this point their worst start since, like, 1913 or something mad like that? I mean,
they've not had a great start by any
measure. No, but I mean, they're not a team that would consider themselves regular sort of, like, relegation fodder, you know? But the form suggests that that's the case. Yeah, you'd surely be furious. I mean, it's not like they've not spent money in the summer as well by their own comparative standards.
True. I did like what he also said. When I was at Middlesbrough, we used to have a massive party whenever we got to 40 points, whether that was in November, March, April.
November.
Whenever. Coach Steve Harrison would say, "Right, we're having a party now."
That is why fans were throwing their season tickets at him.
To get 40 points in November, you'd almost have to win every single game.
Yeah,
you get the point.
40 points available in November.
Yeah, I just worked it out in my head. I think they're just about. Depending on the international breaks.
You get the point he's making.
Yeah.
But the fact is
you get the 40 points he's making.
Imagine that if you had 40 points in November and you're like, "We're on for the league here. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
We can take off half the gas for the whole season."
What incredible professional motivations. Well, get to put 40 points, guys. You can get absolutely tanked.
You can imagine them having 40 points in November, sitting around the dressing room, all talking about a potential league push from down the corridor, Steve McLaren. Survival, la, 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 survival.
I'm a survivor.
Doing the Beyonce, like booty shaking. I'm a survivor. Come on, everybody do it.
Yeah. You were about to do it then.
I was a bit, yeah. I was just shuffling in my seat.
We've all shifted in our seats.
It was a dummy.
Hey. Bit of Beyonce. Right. Are we done with that?
Yeah, let's do a championship.
Shall we go to the championship? Mm. Leeds 1, Brighton 2. Bobby Zamora scored his first goal since his return to Brighton.
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Yeah, Sam Wilson's been in touch on the Facebooks saying that was Bobby Sumora's match-winning goal against Leeds. Check this out. This is a great stat. Was his first for Brighton for 12 years, 5 months and 13 days. if anyone can beat that as a gap between scoring a goal for the same goals for the same club, I'd bloody well love to hear it. But we've also got to talk about the big story, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, figuratively and literally, the big man's in town. Big Steve Evans.
Have you seen the pictures
accompanying
all
to.
The articles of it? Because it looks like Ramble favourite Steve Evans is going to be taken over at Leeds. And all of the articles that are informing us of this wonderful, potentially very entertaining news, are pictures of him when he was last at Elland Road with Rotherham, I believe, just in a sombrero. Dancing.
And a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And flip-flops.
Looking like an absolute big, fat party animal.
Well, what about the time when he ran up the touchline in the playoffs when with Rotherham and his trousers almost fell down? It's fantastic. I've got a quote from Steve Evans here, because I think he has been announced as Leeds manager.
Brilliant. You're going to say.
He was obviously asked for a comment on it, and he said, "Look at the excitement at Liverpool now with Jurgen Klopp. Just give me an opportunity. That's all I'm asking."
Oh dear.
Big Steve Evans. Another little stat for you, and I looked up this one myself. I didn't rely on a listener for it.
Oh.
Including caretakers, Leeds have had 20 managerial appointments since the year 2000.
Bloody hell.
Wow. So
haven't like Glasgow Rangers only had 20 different
in their history,
names in their history or something like that?
I think we should do a little quick sweepstake on how long we think Steve Evans will last on Chiellini. Because Chiellini's been given the boot as well, hasn't
he? He's been banned again.
Well, he was banned.
It's like he's still an awful bloke.
But he was banned for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then he came back. And now he's been banned again, but he's got leave to appeal. So I don't know what's happening with that. But surely he must be banned for longer for the second.
He'll control the club through exile.
Yeah, right.
What's the point if you can appeal? I'll just keep appealing.
I can honestly see Steve Evans lasting a maximum. I'm not doing another prediction because I've got Sherbet on the go at the moment. And I can see him lasting 2 to 3 months at a premium.
Yeah. It's utterly, utterly consistent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting for someone to work out on our behalf, because I'm not going to do it, what the sort of average time a Leeds manager has had since the year 2000.
Wade Wilson got in touch on Twitter and I said, "Oh, are there any highlights of the week?" And he tweeted back saying, I'm getting excited now, as it's only 2 more Leeds managers till Christmas.
This must be depressing being a Leeds fan. You know, they obviously got back in the Championship a while ago and you thought, okay, a couple of seasons there and then they'll be back to where many people believe they should be.
Mm.
And now they're on 11 points down in 18th position and they've just hired Steve Evans.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
Whereas Brighton flying high at the top, 25 points after 11 games. They've had a fantastic start.
Still undefeated, I believe. I think they're the only team in England to be undefeated. But the absolute highlight of the Championship this weekend was, do you guys remember, of course you still remember him, but I don't know if you guys are fully aware that Nigel Adkins is the manager at Reading at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously a bit of a David Brent specialist. Now our dear Brendan's departed for the moment, we can rely on Nigel Adkins for a David Brent quote, though, because, and this is, I promise you he said this, in a post-match interview after the Reading game at the weekend, he said to the interviewer, "Do you know what the biggest room in my house is?" And the interviewer said no, and he went, "The room for improvement."
Oh, wow.
Luke, what a line.
Now that you only like American things, should that not be a Michael Scott style
it's
quote?
It's a brilliant quote, Jim. Just enjoy it. Let it percolate out there.
To be fair, that's different class.
That is radio gold, that. Big Nigel. Do you remember he did that poem when he was Southampton manager, I think? He did a poem on Match of the Day. It might not have been Southampton.
Why not?
He was managing in the Premier League and he did a poem.
It would have been Southampton.
Yeah, it would have had to have been.
It was dreadful.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And he thought he was being really clever, which is funny.
Let's go to League One. Coventry have signed Joe Cole.
Even they don't seem to believe it.
No.
I hear your point, but is it that surprising?
Not really.
Well, he's not playing
games,
honest,
he isn't. But League One, I thought maybe Championship.
Yeah. But, I mean, his drop-off has been pretty dramatic, hasn't it?
Hmm.
So, fair enough to him to want to get playing again and being humble enough to drop down that far.
And he probably doesn't want to leave the area where he's living in.
Exactly.
So, Coventry's fairly close by.
Yeah, and they're fairly high up in the league. They're 5th, 4 points off, high-flying Gillingham at the top, the old Gills.
It's only a 35-day loan, so let's see if he beats Steve Evans.
Very specific, isn't it? Very specific loan.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Could you stretch to 30? No, 35, okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's all I'm willing to give you.
We're going to go to League 2.
Oh, can we just... Can I do a quick League 1 that we would be absolutely criminal for us to miss, is that Lee Powers, who's chairman of Swindon Town, has fired the manager and has decided to take on the first team affairs
himself. Of course,
himself.
You're absolutely right.
But the great thing about this is Lee Powers has non-dom status. For tax reasons, so he can only spend 93 days in the UK a year. Presumably he's going to fly in for weekends only. I don't know what he's going to do, but
That is brilliant, isn't it?
We could not talk about that.
yeah, Skype in the team talks or something like that. In League Two, Portsmouth, they won again.
They did.
They won again. The big...
winning's a habit.
The big news from that game was that the referee picked up an injury during the game, so an appeal was made to the crowd for anyone qualified to be the fourth official for the rest of the match, because the original fourth official, obviously, took charge of the match.
Yeah, I wish Kevin Friend was in the audience.
I wish he was.
In the crowd. Great,
but it was a Portsmouth fan who came and was the fourth official.
Apparently so, yeah. And they closed out the win. Newport County are poor this season, though.
They are very, very poor.
It was a game they had to win. They only narrowly squeaked it as well, by the way.
That would be so good being at a game where a fan goes, I'm ready.
Was it the guy with the bell?
No, it wasn't the guy with the bell, no. I don't
using
think
that instead of a whistle.
But the interesting thing is that, well, the fourth doesn't need a whistle, but I was wondering...
I mean, fans don't need bells.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Although, sadly, I feel like if you took the bell away from him, he may
just
never
stop existing.
Recover. Yeah.
He'd just fade out of existence.
But how do you prove that you're a fourth official? Do you get given a card or something to say you're an official of the Football Association or something like that?
Forge them.
Because anyone could pipe up, couldn't they?
Yeah, Ramblers. Get forging and get officiating.
And get infiltrating.
Get officious. We're going to talk about La Liga, the Euro 2016 playoffs and more after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Now, before we talk about La Liga and the other things I just mentioned, we've got to say that on a Friday morning, you lucky things, we are going to be doing a preview show to the weekend's footballing action.
We've already done one. We did one last week.
We did one last week.
Sponsored by Bet365. It culminated in a bet of the week, which all the winnings and all the proceeds go towards Prostate Cancer UK, people who listen to it would have heard. And the good news is we backed Chelsea -1 last week and they delivered.
They did.
So that was £47.60 to Prostate Cancer UK.
There you go.
Everyone wins.
Yep.
Apart from Villa. And that's their own fault, isn't it? That's their own fault, really. So, yeah, every Friday, tune into that. It's the usual iTunes and the footballramble.com stuff. So,
marvellous. Let's go to La Liga. Real Madrid beat Levante 3-0. Ronaldo is now Madrid's all-time top goal scorer, getting his 324th in just 310 games. I feel he does this every week now.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Well, he will now. He'll remain so.
Technically.
Ronaldo, he'll probably hold a press conference to just reconfirm it every time he scores.
Yep. That's right. I heard a little rumour that this might be his last season at Real Madrid.
Oh, where's he going? Do you know?
PSG, perhaps.
Okay, right.
Well,
he's... Well, I'm breaking that one.
Yeah.
Good story you broke there.
Well, I haven't broken anything.
Well, let's claim it.
I'm sure that rumour's been circulating in a few various nooks and crannies in the football world. But Ronaldo said he'd like to play for Real Madrid until he was 40, obviously.
I mean, how realistic do you think it is that he'll leave Real Madrid?
Well, I don't know. He's 30 now. I think they may cash in on him while they still can.
But, I mean... He's doesn't
this season
really
or next season. I wouldn't be surprised.
Any sign of slowing down yet. He
doesn't. But if you could get, I mean, how much would he go for? €90 million, €100 million.
At 30, would he?
No, not even euros, pounds.
But would he at 30? That's the thing.
I think he's got a lot to offer, hasn't he? He keeps himself in such good shape.
You contradict. You said that he's got a lot to offer, but you're saying he won't go for that much.
Yeah, I don't think those things contradict each other. It's because of his age, isn't it? That's a huge factor in a transfer fee.
So therefore, if they sell him when he's 30, I mean, Zidane was, 29, 30 when Real Madrid bought him for all that money. If he's still got something to offer, they would sell him now, whereas if they waited 2 or 3 years when he's maybe 33...
It's a trade-off, isn't it? It's a trade-off. They're going to get less money for him as long as they leave it. But I think, you know, realistically, the shape he keeps himself in... True. I mean, the guy's an absolute athlete.
Yeah.
He could play in any... He's one of those players as well who could play in any position and be the best player on the pitch. Mm-hmm. So even if he plays in a slightly different role as he gets older, he'll still be able to do that. And I think part of... Maybe he just thinks, well, I've broken this scoring record now. Is anyone realistically going to do it anytime soon?
No.
Why not go away to Paris Saint-Germain, who haven't actually got an illustrious history themselves,
achieve something new?
Yeah.
It was just a rumour. Hmm. Maybe replace him with Eden Hazard. Again, just a rumour. Barcelona beat Rayo Vallecano 5-2. Neymar helped himself to a haul.
The big story was Bebe.
Yeah.
The big story was Bebe.
Yeah.
He got an assist at the Nou Camp. Yeah. Good to see him.
Yeah.
Did you see him in the press recently saying, when asked, do you think you'll go back to Manchester United? And he was saying, if I can score some goals, you never know. And I thought,
God, he's still on loan from them. He is, isn't he?
I don't know if he's on loan. I don't know about that.
Jim.
I remember it might even have been last season. Like he was still out on loan from them. Even if that loan deal has ended, it went on for a long, long time.
One of the interesting things I saw was that when Vallecano went ahead, didn't they?
They scored the first and the last goals of the game, which I like.
Yeah.
In a 5-2 loss.
Bookending it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But the thing was, when Neymar scored his first goal, which was a penalty, And it was a penalty.
Yeah.
He got chopped. He scored his penalty. 22 minutes in, I think it was. Legged it to get the ball.
Yeah.
Took it back to the centre circle. That's the appetite I like.
I know, but people
there's only
about,
70 minutes left.
Yeah. I mean, they've been struggling a little bit without Messi, and people think that's ridiculous given the players they've got. But they funnel everything through Messi, don't they? So it's going to take them a little while to just, you know, recalibrate. And Neymar's Neymar. They bang, stop. Four goals, easy.
But they can't stop conceding, though. That's the problem. And yeah. Raducanu are poor. I mean, they play Bartomeu Borisov in the Champions League this week. And Borisov had a good result against Roma. I forget what it was off the top of my head, but I seem to remember them doing well. So you can see them scoring against Barcelona because they can't keep goals out.
They're weirdly, genuinely like Newcastle at the moment.
It's
comparable result.
Newcastle fans will take that.
Well, nearly, because they've just got the five. But they did have a man getting a haul. To see Suarez pass the ball to Neymar for the fourth, or Neymar's fourth goal, which was Barcelona's fourth goal, when Suarez could have easily gone for goal. To me, that just showed how much they love playing with each other and for each other. I was amazed Suarez passed that.
Well, for all Suarez's faults and his obvious naughtiness, he is a very unselfish player. He's so hard working.
Well, Sturridge got so many goals.
Exactly, yeah.
Because of Suarez's hard work and so on and so forth. Other reasons as well, and his own quality, of course. But yeah, you just look at that Barcelona side, and my giddy aunt, Jim. They're good going forward, but at the back, a little bit suspect. Real Sociedad, they lost home to Atleti 2-0. Moyes is in trouble. Yeah. Two players sent off, and they were quite hard done by perhaps not getting a penalty call in the dying minutes and then conceded straight after. But the fans were chanting in English, which, well done.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah,
they've sort of gone the extra mile to be like rude. Though,
but if you're going
to
do it, there's nothing deceitful about it, is there?
Yeah, true.
There's nothing honourable about chanting someone the man you're chanting about is not going to understand. Meet him halfway.
Well, all the way.
Yeah, in this case,
because they
the
said
way,
Moyes go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you mean, Jim. It is rude.
Listen to this. For Matt Turner was in touch on Twitter, and he said that Real Sociedad, between the 88th and 90th minute, received 6 yellow cards, 2 reds, and let a goal in.
Hence,
is industrious stuff.
Well, again, I thought they were hard done by as well, which just begins to get to grips with how maybe they felt.
Atleti were the second goal for Atleti.
6 yellows.
Yeah. The second goal was brilliant, though. Such power from, I think it was Carrasco, just forced his way through. Actually, yeah. Griezmann's goal was similar.
Griezmann's was fantastic.
They both just ran in a straight line and were just stronger than the defenders.
I like Griezmann. He looks like he has the appetite to want to be the best. He's taken on such responsibility. Yep. You know, it's really good to see.
Griezmann's brilliant. You would suspect that come January or maybe next summer, someone will be in for Griezmann. And they may well have been.
Everyone will be.
But I was surprised he didn't go. I was pleasantly surprised he didn't go and Atleti held on to him because he's such a valuable player. Only Messi and Ronaldo scored more goals in the league.
People were saying that some people have mentioned
year.
That the Real.
Although that was a hell of a lot more, I hasten to
say. Some people are saying that the Real Madrid hierarchy are talking about Griezmann being the next Galactico and stuff. And that's normally how it starts, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
He's not a bad looking chap because obviously, was it Di Maria? Guillaume Balaguer said he wasn't good looking enough to be a Galactico.
Well, a lot of people used to say that about Rooney back in the day. When Rooney was banging the goals in, people were talking about linking him with big clubs and stuff. Of course, he ended up going to Man United. But I remember reading one or two think pieces that said, if Rooney was as good looking as David Beckham, he'd be far bigger.
There was someone from inside the club at Real Madrid. I forget who it was. It might even have been Florentino Perez that said Ronaldinho was too ugly to play for Real Madrid.
I think that was sour grapes.
Just a dig, though. Yeah. Just a dig.
When Ronaldinho was ripping them.
You know, but the fact that's even in the sphere of digs is absurd.
The digosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree. Let's go to international football. It's the Euro 2016 playoffs. Ireland have been drawn against Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Said this on the Sirius phone-in show.
Every
Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern, if you're in the US. I said Ireland have got nothing to fear from this draw.
Yep.
And I know Bosnia have got some good individuals and all that other business, but Ireland have got the second match at home, I believe,
which
is brilliant for them. I think they can go through here.
That game's going to be electric.
Especially, you know, what they did against Germany. Mm. There's a template. If you're under the cosh away...
Well, it's great because you look back in the recent past and you go, we know we can beat a great team because we've done it.
Yes. Mind you,
And also, sorry to cut in there, Marcus, but I think the injustice of the Thierry Henry handball situation will, you know, even though it was quite a while ago, will still be fresh in their minds. They will want to make sure that they just give absolutely everything and just see that home.
Imagine if Bosnia started with Henry up front. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Just declare him.
Yeah, just whistling the Harlem Globetrotters theme tune. Yeah.
Would it not be more poetic if they started him in goal?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mm. It won't happen, obviously. No, a retired French footballer playing for Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Can't happen. It's that sort of stuff that means we run over our runtime every single week.
Can't happen, won't happen with the football ramble.
Yeah.
I take those points. The only thing that I would slightly worry about is because Ireland are playing a team perhaps of a similar capability or similar ability, Ireland play best with their backs to the wall against Germany, for example. Yeah. If Ireland need to take the game to them, I wonder.
I don't think that's true, because I think Bosnia will ear up the first game and go, we've got to win this, and they'll come at them, and Ireland can then treat it that way.
Well, okay.
And then obviously, of course, the first game informs the second. But I don't know if everyone else agrees with me, but I'd definitely take the second leg at home for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I would agree with that.
But Sweden Denmark's a nice one as well.
Yeah, which is what I said on the phone-in show. Mm. I was pleased they got each other in the draw, because it'll be a tasty one. Ukraine versus Slovenia. The Ukraine coach, Zavarov, didn't hide his feelings after this, saying, it is a fine draw for us. We can be happy with that. Although I have to say, before I really wanted to stitch him up, but he did go on to say, and it is important to avoid any underestimation of Slovenia.
Which you've just done with your first quote.
Yeah, from this point on.
Yeah. That's a lovely old draw. We can't underestimate
them. I've said what we're all thinking. Now, concentrate on the game.
Yeah, so we'll all be back in Slovenia there. Mm. Norway v Hungary was the last one. I'm sure you all knew
That's an interesting one too.
That is a tasty one. From a Scandinavian point of view, it's a shame that all three Scandinavian sides couldn't be going to the finals.
I'd like to see Sweden go through, because, of course, Zlatan and Sweden missed out in the World Cup.
Yeah.
I've got nothing against Denmark, but I'd like to see Sweden.
You'd like to see Lord Bentner there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, not that bothered. Yeah. I feel like I've had my fill of him now.
Yeah, he
some time ago, in fact.
Yeah, he played in the last round of games, and he had this shot from about 40 yards out that missed the goal by about 15 yards. It was just astounding.
And then just looked around at everyone going, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You'd have done worse.
No, he actually did that.
I bet he did.
Jim,
yeah.
you got to do this on the phone-in show, and you haven't done it on the podcast. You enjoyed Robin van Persie's own goal for Holland?
Oh, God, it was joyous.
Okay, that's enough.
The little boy inside him is a fool, isn't he?
Yeah, there you go.
There we are. Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I've done a few already, haven't I? I've sprinkled a few highlights from listeners throughout the show.
You've
been a good
week. Bloody have.
They haven't had to wait. They haven't all had to wait till the end. But anyway, we're here now. Connor Armstrong on Twitter says, my highlight of the week is Steve McLaren's Hair Island. The only manager I can think of who is able to have two hairstyles on the same head. To which I say, Connor, does Jerry Francis not even exist to you anymore?
Yeah.
He's got about five.
Mm-hmm. His hairstyles have hairstyles.
He thinks Steve McLaren's an amateur when
have
it comes to hairstyles.
Have we got an update on Jordan Lechkov?
No, we
haven't. Who had the tiniest of islands. Why didn't Lechkov go... Ooh, yeah.
You've gone off piece there.
Yeah,
Do you want to throw it to the listeners for a Lechkov update?
I'll row all the way back to the
boat house. There you go. Got there in the end. Nazi Bidassi says, my highlight is Neville and Giggs allowing a group of 30 homeless people to stay in their derelict hotel over the winter.
Brilliant.
Very nice to see that.
Yep.
What else have we got here? Oh, Charlie Harris is weighed in on the hot potato of football chat that is Joe Cole to Coventry.
Yeah.
He says, Coventry have signed Joe Bloody Cole to strengthen an area we don't even really need to strengthen, but it's amazing.
Joe Bloody Cole?
Yeah, there he is. And this is quite a nice one, actually, from L.O. Benny on Twitter. He says, Dion Dublin earning his BBC wages, which are paid for by all of us, by the way.
Yep.
I don't want to get on their back because I'm a fan of the BBC, but it's in the context of this.
I'm happy to fund the dupe.
Dion Dublin earning his BBC wages with thoughtful, considered analysis when asked about gegenpressing, of course, Jürgen Klopp's tactic of choice, with the following, not interested. Cheers. I actually went to my heart of the week is I went to a Sunday league game over the back of my parents' place. There's a couple of playing fields over the back of there, and I went over to watch some games. It's quite entertaining to do on a Sunday morning.
It sounds like bliss.
It was great.
Some sort of football Narnia.
It was great. And but the fantastic thing was I saw a team, I got there about halfway through the first half. I just stood around watching. And this one team were getting battered. I think it was about 2-0 at half time.
Did you get your boots on?
I promise you this happened. I was close enough to hear the team talk from the manager. And he said, come on, lads, in the second half, we've got to remember about our pressing game. I got beat 8-2. So the pressing game wasn't really apparent.
You should have said, I'll take the team talk. No doubt they'd have known you.
No.
Being a face in that area.
Staying out of it, mate. Yeah. Staying out of it.
Highlights of the week, Jimmy?
Well, I think my highlight of the week is actually something from our very own forum on our website.
Very odd message, Jim.
Mm, the listeners, this really needs to be seen to be believed. They've done something called the Robbie Keane Cup, where they've effectively invented a very, very detailed, proper sort of hardcore football fans fantasy football game, and it's great. So get over there, have a look at it. Like
why in?
Yeah, why? I mean, it's like you pick a squad of 12 with a combined 600 international caps of any player, current or retired, who won their first cap from 1960 onwards. That's one of the sort of boundaries.
It's the sort of thing.
It's very detailed.
It's the sort of thing every single one of us presented with. would lose easily.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's, I'll give the URL. It's theFootballRamble.com/forum.
Yeah, a couple of highlights from me. Mike Grella scoring after 7 seconds for New York Red Bulls, I think it was, setting a new MLS record.
Nice to see.
Yes, Jim.
Did you see the Greek stretcher man?
Oh, that was good.
He was being stretched off and he fell off twice.
Yeah, no, there's a player being stretched off and one of the stretcher men fell over. And then picked the stretcher up again and then just fell on the guy. They took him off, dumped him on the floor because clearly there was a bit of anger between the two stretcher men. Yeah, but the one who didn't drop the guy was having a go at the guy who dropped him, but he was so angry he just wasn't even acknowledging his presence. He was like an angry teenager.
You can see it on thefootballram.com. Kelly put it up there. And also what Kelly's done this week is, or the always excellent Kelly, I should say, you will find Eric Cantona's unnecessarily furry backside. That's got to be seen to be believed. The only two men in the world who would make Jose Mourinho beg Ava Canero to return to Chelsea. Getafe's latest attempt to recruit more fans. And this one doesn't require a trip to the sperm bank, thankfully. And a rather unwelcome insight into what football would be like if Kelly wrote it in the poorly titled Weekend Highlights. Unfortunately, though, it does involve a gilet and some nudity. Mm. So follow Kelly on @_KellyWells if you dare.
Absolutely. One more highlight. Ramon Vega throwing his hat into the ring for the FIFA presidency.
I like this. I think that makes sense. He's a learned, intelligent, educated man who seems to me like a fairly honest pro as well.
Former Spurs and Switzerland man. I come without baggage and I have substantial experience from both football and in finance. Perfect candidate for me.
Yeah.
Don't forget the preview show every Friday morning. You can get that in your internet pipes. Well worth a turn of the head. The email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @FootballRamble. And the website where the always excellent Kelly Wales operates is thefootballramble.com. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
That's me cooked.
There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goldblum, go home.
Say goodbye, Luke.
I'm a survivor.
Goldblum, stay here.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.